Now, for our Bible readings this afternoon, we're going to turn first to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse 1, page 1211 in our church Bibles. 1211 is the page number in our church Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11. And we begin reading at the first verse of the chapter. Page 1211. Let us listen with care to this portion of God's written word. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph at the end of his life made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now for our second Bible reading, we're going to turn together to page 1250, the book of Revelation, and chapter 21. So you're almost right at the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. Let us hear this portion of God's word together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can I ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 to 27. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 to 27. We read there, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." I want to spend a few moments, not long, on those last words. The last words of verse 27. "He endured as seeing him who is invisible." I don't know if you've observed Christians in their life, and particularly in their death. Sometimes you meet a believer and their death is triumphant. They die with clear and evident faith looking to God. They die in hope. Sometimes you meet a believer who comes to the end of life and struggles. Struggles with confidence in what they have always confessed. Sometimes we see people who profess the faith for a long time and then at some point in their life they're gone. And we can observe all kinds of experience in Christian life. But there's one question that must come to each one of us, and it's the question, will I endure to the end? Will I endure to the end? You know, our Lord Jesus spoke to the disciples, I think it's in Matthew 10, he that endures to the end will be saved. He's saying to them, you know, you're going to meet hardship, don't give up. He that endures to the end will be saved. And the Bible does put this question to us, that we would ask ourselves, will I endure to the end? Will I hold fast to Christ until death? That's the question. And the Bible answers that question for us. It says, it's by faith that you will endure to the end. And in the chapter that we read in Hebrews 11, there are about 20 times this chapter tells us, by faith, this person did this. It's as if all these voices from the past are saying to each one of us, you will endure, you will prevail by faith. It's by faith that you will do this. And I want to, so I've asked the question, will I endure? Will you endure to the end? The Bible says to us, it's by faith that you will endure. And so I come this evening to ask the question, well, what is faith? What is this faith by which I will endure? Now, there's one lesson. This is my sermon in a sentence, if you like. There's one lesson that I want to teach you this evening, this afternoon, one lesson. And it is this, that faith looks at what is invisible. Okay, that's the point. Faith looks at what is invisible. Christian faith looks at what is unseen. I can just say a little bit more about that. Christian faith looks at what is unseen and future. There's like two things. What is, a believer fixes his eyes on the things that he cannot see. And he also fixes his mind on the things that are future. And that's the point that I want to make in a few moments this evening. Faith, put it simply, faith looks at the invisible and faith looks at the future. If you noticed in the same chapter, in verse 6 of the same chapter, we read, without faith it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he who comes to God, one, must believe that he is. Now this is looking at the invisible. Our God is invisible. No man has seen God or can see at any time. He believes in the invisible God. But also, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, faith works like this. I seek God, and I know that there is a reward at the end of this journey. That's future. So here in verse 6, we have the believer. The Bible says the believer looks at the invisible God and looks at the future reward. That's what faith does. It works like this. Faith looks at the unseen, and faith looks at the future. Now, that's why I chose particularly, or I'm choosing particularly, to concentrate on verses 24 to 27. And here we have the case of Moses. We have the case of Moses. And I ask simply the question, what was Moses looking at? What was he seeing What was he concentrating upon? And, well, what could he see? If we look at the verses, first of all, for example, in verse 26, one thing that Moses could see with his eyes were the treasures of Egypt. He could see those because as a little boy, he'd been taken into the palace and he had lived as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he was surrounded by those things that he could see. He could see the treasures of Egypt. And later on in verse 27, he could also see the king of Egypt. He could see Pharaoh. And he could see Pharaoh's power and Pharaoh's anger. Now, Moses could see those things. Everyone could see those things. If you had walked into the palace, you would have seen the treasures. If you had gone into the throne room, you would have seen that mighty Pharaoh. Those were the things that Moses could see with his eyes. But the Bible is telling us he wasn't looking at those things. He wasn't looking at the treasures of Egypt. He wasn't looking at Pharaoh. That's not what Moses was looking at. What was Moses looking at? He saw much more than that, and he was looking at invisible things. For example, in verse 26, he was not looking at the treasure in Pharaoh's palace. He was looking at the reward from the hand of the Lord. He was looking at future treasures. And in fact, in verse 25, we are told that when he saw the treasures in Pharaoh's palace, he said, "These won't last for long. They're not going to be permanent. The treasures in Pharaoh's palace are the fleeting pleasures of sin. They're going to be gone." And he was looking for the reward that would never be taken away from him. So you can see that Moses could see certain things with his eyes, but with his mind, he was looking at other things. The future reward. He couldn't see the reward yet. He couldn't hold it in his hands. But with his mind, with the eye of his mind, in faith, he looked at the reward. And when it came to Pharaoh in verse 27, he could see Pharaoh, he could feel his anger, but that's not what he was thinking about. What was he thinking about? He was seeing a him who cannot be seen. And you can say, well, that is our God. Or you might say, well, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He was, his mind, his eyes, the eyes of his mind were fixed upon the great reality of the invisible God. I want you to just see the example of Moses. I'm asking the question very simply, where did Moses look? And what did Moses ignore? He looked to God and he ignored Pharaoh. He looked to heaven and the reward at the end and he ignored the treasures of Egypt. He said in his mind, all the treasures of Egypt mean nothing to me. All that I am interested in, all that is of value to me, is my God and the reward when I meet him at the end of my journey. You see, I hope you can see what's going on in Moses' mind. We're thinking about what was really real to Moses. And God was more real in his mind than Pharaoh. Quite right, too. Now, the thing is, I've just chosen for 5 minutes the example of Moses. But the writer of the book of Hebrews is giving us lots of examples of the same thing. He's really saying it's the same kind of faith, for example, in verse 30, that enabled them to overcome Jericho. What happened? They approached Jericho. They could see the walls, high walls. They knew that inside Jericho were the giants that made the previous generation afraid. They could see the enemy. But with the eye of their mind, at least Joshua, he was thinking about someone else. He was thinking about the captain of the armies of the Lord whom he had met. So Joshua was not looking at the defenses of Jericho. He was looking at the power of Christ. And so we go on. Daniel and the lion's den. He was not looking at the lions, but he was looking at the God who could deliver him. The three young men thrown into the fire. They were not looking at the fire. They were looking at the Lord. And indeed he came to them in the fire. And all of these and more, they're examples of the one point. The one thing that I would love you to take home and dwell upon for the rest of your lives is this, that faith looks at the invisible and faith looks at the future that God has promised us. Faith concentrates on the invisible. Now, this is really important for Christian victory. Because in the Christian life, if you're living the Christian life, you will face opposition. You will come under pressure. You will face opposition from real people who you can see and you can touch them. They can come close into your face, as it were, and you see, my enemies are real. The church faces real opposition. In the Christian life, we are sometimes, as it were, held back because we feel the lack of comfort. It can be an uncomfortable experience to be a Christian. In other words, there are things in our life which impact upon us, and we see them and we feel them. We may even feel that the journey, the Christian journey, is a long journey to take. But we have to meet those things with the invisible realities that God has given us. If we face any enemies, we must look away from the enemies to God. God is mightier than any enemy that we have. If we face discomfort in the Christian life, we must look away to our heavenly home where there are no tears. If we feel that our journey is long, we must say, but eternity is long and this pilgrimage is short. Always the Christian mind thinks about the invisible and particularly about God and about the future and about our reward. And I want to close this evening very briefly by saying to you, the Lord will never let his children be lost. We have promises that no one will snatch us from the hand of Christ. No one will snatch us from the hand of God. If you are a believer now, you will reach the end. That will happen. But God has shown you how to be victorious in fighting the Christian fight. You will run the race if you look at the invisible God. You will run the race if you look at the reward. Well, may God give us all strength to run the race, to think like believers, to fix our eyes on the invisible and on the reward. Amen.